It's for Jesus our Lord. Ruda la anchara de la manamanasia. Oh! Hallelujah! Ujanara de manasambachara. Ruda la anchara de la Glory! Glory! Rajanara Namana Hatajara! Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Rumadanjana Namana Sambachara! Amen! Hallelujah! Let's sit down tonight in the presence of the Lord. You may look at a couple of people, shake their hands, hug them, and tell them, Shalom! Hallelujah! Jesus be with you one more time! Hallelujah! Come on, do it, church! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Can I have more volume on this? And verses 23 and 24. Can we read that together tonight? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 2003 is almost coming to an end. Hallelujah. God has kept us at under for one more year. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we will see the next year also. And we shall enjoy the blessings of the Lord. How many of you are there tonight? Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of Jesus. And it is so important that for any healthy ministry or church, that every year you go through a foundational teaching. You might know those teachings, but you go through it again so that people will remember and recollect, and that will stay upon their hearts afresh. Sometimes you go through doctrines, but what I major on and what I've been doing is almost every year I try to make sure that I deal with messages that would give you a continuous walk with Jesus, that is hindering your walk, that would set you free from that which is hindering you, that you can walk with the Lord. So I go through even foundational teachings based on, even forgiveness of the Lord, the love of God, or the compassion of God, or whatever, or healing and curse breaking and all that. We go through it almost every year in different forms or different ways so that you can know that you are continuously in the hand of the Lord and you can be refreshed and stay strong in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And how many of you find that the last couple of days are a blessing for you? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Tonight we are allowing the Holy Spirit to awaken us to certain truths, which I believe will be helpful. And we read that scripture one more time, 5th chapter, verses 23 and 24. Together, can you read it? My voice is a little gone. I have to speak slowly and softly. Can I have a chair here also? I don't think I'll be able to stand too long. You can start reading. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify, you can make it personal, me completely, that I may be whole, spirit, soul and body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. One more scripture, Galatians chapter 3 and verses 2 onwards. Galatians chapter 3 verses 2 onwards. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Together, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? One more time, the fifth verse. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? One more time. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to, this is a message that we were speaking on, and habits to be broken. And the Lord had given me a word personally before I started the fasting and prayer, that many would be set free from certain addictive habits and compulsive habits, and the grace of God would abound upon their lives. And I believe it is a miracle working anointing of God that breaks a person free from the bondage. But the reason I give teaching is because so that you will know how not to get back into bondage. Amen. Hallelujah. It is sometimes the inspirational preaching under the anointing of God that sets you free, because you receive by faith and the hand of God comes upon you and sets you free. At the same time, you go through a teaching time, which is not something that I enjoy. I would love to just preach, but there are times you go through a teaching time so that you will know how to keep the blessing that God gives you. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are dealing with these messages that shame. The first day, I think we dealt with the area of sexuality. And then a little bit on shame, and we have not been majoring on all those things, but I was asking the Lord, why not? Because, we had a time some years back where we gathered together for 3 days on just curse breaking and things like that, on issues that are real deep. And the Lord said, just touch those points, and since they already know, or since even if there are people coming in new, since they are eager to be blessed by the Lord said I would meet with them and set them free. And so I'm just, sometimes it would look like you're just going through the borderline without getting really into the depth. But let me assure you that God will set you free. Amen. He will set you free. These are days of deep cleansing and healing and deliverance and victory for our lives, because we're going to go into 2004 with the blessing of God. And today afternoon, I was so happy in the fact that the Lord gave me a word for 2004. Sometimes, I'm almost scared. Sometimes if he'll give me the previous night, because you have to seek him all the while and say, Lord, please be, what is the word for 2004? But I'm so glad that he did it today. Maybe after the fasting, I can relax for a couple of days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, today we're going to speak about a thing which is actually will just help you to come through, and it is this word in 23rd verse of 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to speak to you on what can cause your spirit to be damaged, and how you can keep your spirit so that you will never go back to the shame from which you came out. Amen. What will cause an abuse to your spirit or a hurt to your spirit, and that would keep you down? Because you look at certain lives and suddenly you find that the spirit man is down. The spirit is broken or wounded. That's the spirit of that, the inner man is not functioning in the fullness of health for which God created them. And let me tell you, everything begins, your spirit is dead if you have not accepted Jesus Christ. But the day you and me are born again, you become spiritually alive. Amen. You become spiritually Are you still here tonight? You become spiritually alive. Now, once you become spiritually alive, let me tell you, it is important that you guard your spirit. Because you will find that, you know, when God gave the word to Moses on building the tabernacle, the first thing that God said was about the Holy of Holies. God didn't say first about the outer court, nor of the holy place. God said start with the Holy of Holies. The first directions were given about the Holy of Holies, and then about the holy place, and then about the outer court. The same way you and me are triune. We have a Trinitarian God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you and me are triune. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Amen. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And God starts with our spirit. Just like He started with the Holy of Holies, He started with our spirits. It is not from outside, but He works from inside out. That's why you need to understand that as a believer, sometimes you know that you're born again and you know you're alive in God, and you might be going through a discouragement in life, and you come in for a meeting where the anointing of God is stirred up and the preaching comes through and a word of encouragement comes upon your life, and suddenly you are quickened. Why? Because your spirit man is alive and gets charged up once again. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need to know what will cause a wound to your spirit, because the spirit is the key. Now, you know, see, God created the spirit, soul, and body for a purpose. Now, the spirit of man is what gives him God consciousness. Consciousness, you know that. That's the part that helps you to fellowship with God. That's the part that helps you to worship the Lord. That's the part that helps you to understand the things of God. You hear that? Come on, one more time. The spirit of man is that which keeps you in communion with God. Are you with me? The spirit of man is that which keeps you in communion with God. The spirit is that which allows you to worship the Lord. Are you with me? Worship comes from inside, not from outside. So the spirit of man, and no wonder the spirit is the place where God communes, God ministers, and where you minister to God. And that is the place where the devil tries to attack, because he knows if he can attack you there, then he can kill your entire life. Come on, church. See, if you look into your life, you will find, you know, I was studying a law of physics called the law of pressure. I just looked for that one word. And that speaks about, you know, how that person illustrated that was by the football. He said, in a football, there's a law of pressure. There's a higher pressure inside the ball. And that is why when people are hitting that ball and when people are standing on that ball, it doesn't get deflated. It doesn't get broken or deflated. It just stays there because there's a higher pressure inside. Am I right? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a higher pressure inside. And no wonder if 22 people are kicking the ball all the time in the ground, still it won't get deflated. It won't get broken. Why? There's a higher pressure inside. No wonder Jesus said in 1 John 4:4, greater is the one who is in you than the one that is in the world. Let me tell you, the devil has been hitting you and smashing on all sides. Maybe people have been hurting you on all sides, but let me tell you, you have kept on rolling. Amen. You have kept on rolling. Amen. You have kept on rolling. You thought you would make it to the end of the year, but God has kept you on rolling. Hallelujah. Because there's a greater pressure inside of you. The law of God working inside of you. Jesus Christ alive inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Any teammates here tonight? Hallelujah. Teammates here tonight? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, what kept you rolling? It's because in your spirit, that's where you were born again. That's where you received the divine nature of God. There was no physical change when you received Jesus. There was no mental change when you received Jesus. But you received the divine nature inside your spirit, man. You hear that? Come on, church. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because sometimes I might speak through very fast and all that is deep things of the Lord. So you need to make sure that you catch it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now the spirit, are you with me? The spirit. So the devil knows that if he can someday deflate your spirit, then he can destroy you mentally, and he can destroy you emotionally, and he can destroy you physically. Are you with me? You hear that? Amen. God always starts by working inside out, but the devil always starts from outside in. Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. Now let me give you a scripture. What can make you spiritually sick? Your spirit man becoming so weak or so discouraged or you know, wounded or broken, whereby it cannot stand the pressure that comes from you. I mean, some of you are looking at the struggle that is coming against your life, temptations coming, and you're just giving into it. You know why? Because inside the being, you're not strong. Some of you are trying to do a lot of mental gymnastics every day. You're trying to get your mind renewed. I need to think the word of God. I need to think something holy. I need to think something holy. You need to think something holy. You need to think the word of God. You need to think the faith in Christ. You're trying and trying. It's becoming a strain. You get a headache after trying for a long time. Anybody here? You know why? Because see, your spirit is not healthy. There is no life of God flowing in its fullness in your spirit. Hear that? Amen. God starts with inside out. That's why the anointing comes first in your spirit. And when you're spiritually full, then you will find without any mental block your mind thinking about the things of God. Are you with me? But if the life of God or the anointing of God has not touched you to the fullness inside your spirit, what will happen is you will have to strain and strive to think clearly the ways of God and the thoughts of God and the desires of God. Come on. Hallelujah. Now the first thing that would get you spiritually down, in the sense that your spirit man getting down, what you have to watch out for is what I call, what the Bible calls actually, disappointment. Everybody goes through disappointments in life, but disappointments. But after getting disappointed for a long time, what happens? You get angry with God. You hear that? You lose your peace in the spirit. Disappointments. When things don't go the way that you want, or the way that you planned, or when things have not worked out, and then you get disappointed. And when you get disappointed, you get discouraged. And there is no more motivation to go on. And if you give into that, let me tell you, that can spiritually be a wound inside of you. Everybody goes through disappointments in life. Because you're a believer, that doesn't mean you won't go through disappointments in life. But you need to understand how to handle it. Anybody here sitting here who has never faced a single disappointment in your life? No. Every one of us, we go through disappointments in life. But the key thing is how you handle it. Are you with me? How do you handle it? How do you understand it? How do you discern it? Amen. If you allow the disappointments to be your continuous meditation, and if you allow that to just linger on and linger on and linger on, you know what will happen? You will get so discouraged, you cannot motivate yourself in the Lord. You will get so discouraged, you'll say, prayer doesn't work, fasting doesn't work, worship doesn't work, reading the Bible doesn't work, all this faith business is nothing, I don't think it works at all, I don't know why I came out of Egypt, I should have just stayed there. Now I can't enjoy Egypt, nor can I enjoy the promised land. It looks like I'm nowhere. What's going to happen to my life? You know why? Because discouragement is trying to take a hold over your spirit. It's a warning. Are you with me? Immediately take your spirit man before the Lord and say, Lord, I am discouraged. I am disappointed. Things are not working the way that I think it has to go. But Lord, help me. I come to you like a little child. Recognize. Learn to be humble at that time. Come to the Lord and open that wound out. And just tell the Lord. See, how many of you know it is okay? It's okay to feel disappointed. You know that? But you need to express it. Sometimes as a believer, you think you shouldn't express it. Well, what happens is, especially as a leader, I go through that more. Because all the time, people are looking at you and people are gazing at you people know you're a very expressive person. So what happens is, anytime that you are going through a disappointment, discouragement, suddenly it reflects on your face. And so they suddenly come and say, Pastor, anything wrong? And so, even when there is disappointment, you don't show it out. And you just try to mask it and deny it. And then suddenly, after some time, you suddenly know that, boom, no way. And it happens to people where there is, in the world there are certain churches that are abusive churches among believers. And those churches are the churches which do not allow their feelings of hurt to be expressed. You give pat on the back answers. Don't worry, just have more faith. I mean, you're going through a problem and you come and say,
Don't worry, just have more faith. I'm having all the faith that I can. What do I do next? Sometimes, you know, you just need to express that out. And you just need to say, listen, I'm feeling hurt. I'm feeling the disappointment. And I just need to find my bearings. I just need to express it out. I talk to the Lord a lot. Are you with me? Hallelujah. You need to do that. Sometimes what happens is how people, especially among Pentecostal or believers groups, how they do it is they deny it, they don't express it, and without expressing it immediately, they think it is wrong to feel discouragement or disappointment. So what they do is they just confess the word out, out, out. Now, I believe in the confession of the word. That is, after you have expressed your feelings to the Lord and been true to your feelings, then you are taking the word of God and applying the word to that situation and saying, Lord, I trust in your word now, and I'm speaking it out. Then there will be healing. But if you have not actually identified your discouragement and said it out to the Lord, and you just start meditating on the word and confessing it out, it only actually aggravate the whole problem. And you will lose your faith in the word. Anybody here tonight? Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So discouragement, you know, disappointment. Let's look to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. The 13th chapter and verse 12. So we have a lot of people who go to churches and who are actually, they're discouraged. And they deny it. Are you with me? They think it is wrong to express as a believer. You should always be smiling. There's a time to weep, there's a time to smile. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. When you go to a house and when they're going through a grief, you allow them to express their grief. Are you with me? So, you know, sometimes, you know, I go through a real struggle in my life, and you see, the last thing that I want is when I share my struggle, somebody giving the message that I gave to them back to me. Yeah, be a good cheer, Pastor. Come on. All that you want is, listen, I'm going for a prayer. I just need somebody to whom I can speak. And, you know, sometimes some of you who are leaders, you will find that the more and more you go in leadership, there's a saying always that leadership is lonely at the top. You will find that, you know, you can hardly express without somebody taking advantage of that. Without somebody actually manipulating it. And so that is why among leadership there are so many people who are stressed out, who are disappointed, who are just broken down completely because they can never express it. They can never express. People expect you to be Superman. People expect you to be unfallible. Only God is unfallible. Only God, the God's word is infallible, you know. And people expect you to be perfect. I mean, smiling all the time, encouraged all the time, full of fire all the time. That's not the way it is. Till Jesus comes, we will have struggles, disappointments, discouragements, fear of rejections, and things happening around us. But you need to make sure that you... that's why I take a long... Somebody asked me, how do you pray? You know, more than the time I take to worship, I take time to speak to the Lord. It depends upon each person. Some of you might feel very inspired to just worship the Lord long enough. That's good, if you can do it. But that's not the way that I pray. When I pray, because I can hardly express things that I go through outside, and on top of what you're going through, when people share their burden with you, and you have to carry that also into the presence of the Lord, I just speak to the Lord. I speak to the Lord like a child before the Father. That's the time I just let go my super faith image, and I say, Lord, like an innocent, vulnerable person, I just come before you. I do not know really actually what to do, Lord. Here I am. Speak. Once I'm expressed, and when I can't express, when it's too burdened, I cannot express. That's the time I've learned just to write. Just to write. Then after I finish writing, I always make sure that I burn it up. Amen. Hallelujah. What if after 50 years somebody wants to type my messages and looks into my notebooks? My God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13 verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Actually, that word heart is the word the same that is mentioned, spirit. Makes a spirit sick. Hope deferred. When you have been hoping for something, are you with me? That's why our hope should always be in the Lord and in His Word. When you hope for anything apart from that, there are chances that you will get discouraged. But when you're hoping in the Lord and in His Word, there might be a season for which it might take for a particular thing that you're hoping to be fulfilled, but it will come. So amidst the time of when God wants you to be patient, what happens is sometimes the enemy attacks you with discouragement. You hear that? What happens to most people is the minute they hope, they get hope when they hear the word. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Lord, I hope in that. I believe in that. And you take that. And before that can be fulfilled. And when you're waiting on, in between the time, the enemy attacks you and says, no. I said, oh my God. Any area of your life for that matter. So you make sure that you, when you get that kind of disappointment and hurt, your entire perspective about your future will just vanish away. And those people are, emotionally frozen after some time. Because they're just going through life without feeling anything. Just going through life without actually enjoying anything. Are you with me? Now, you need to make sure that you keep your spirit from hurt. Amen? From disappointment. That you say, Lord, I need to handle this. I need to be expressive to you. Amen. And I'll come to the healing part after some time. The second way that you can get your spirit spiritually sick or hurt is, let me give you a scripture for you to understand that your spirit man can become contaminated. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Second Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It says there, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen? That word, filthiness, is the same word contamination or hurt of the flesh and the spirit. Contaminated in the flesh and the spirit. Now, the second way that you can get your spirit man into a place of damage is when you, this is amazing. You've gone through it many times, but look at this. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Luke 17 verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come. But woe to the him through whom they do come. You hear that? It is amazing. You've gone through it plenty of times, but what is actually written there is this. It is impossible that no offense should come. So if you're sitting here in your spiritual life and you're saying, no offense will ever come in my life, you are actually denying the truth of God's word, because God's word says there will be time in which you are offended. You hear that? There will be times. Now you think as a believer, is gone. It says here, it is, can you hear me on top? Okay, maybe if you can off this fan, the AC sound, maybe a little bit. It is impossible that no offense should come. Are you with me? In your life, you will find there are offenses that will come. You can't say that no offense will ever come in my life. You hear that? what happened to me is, see, people who are in shame are great maskers of their pain and their hurts. And so it is the way, as a child, if you are abused by your father, sexually or whatever way, I know there are people who have come to me with counseling and said that, you will find that those people will never say it out. They never say it to the Lord, they'll say, no, nothing has happened. Why? Because they think it's impossible. I shouldn't feel that way. But you should express it to the Lord. You should take it to the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, this is it. See, you cannot mask it. Are you with me? Now, what I'm saying is, it is impossible that no offense should come, Jesus said. In other words, what the Lord is saying, offenses will come. In your life, you will find there are some of you, you're trying to lead a perfect life where you say, okay, no offense, no problems around me. Offenses will come. As a matter of fact, Jesus offended people. It was amazing, Jesus offended people. As a pastor, I always said I shouldn't offend anyone. The Lord said, no, son, if you're going to take a stand in me, you're going to offend a lot of people. But your conscience should be clear before God and before man, that's all. You hear that? If you're going to stand for truth, you will offend a lot of people. You can't please everyone. If you're going to please everyone, then you will never be able to please God. When for example, God asks us to just separate, and a lot of people get hurt. I say, why should we? But then I'm caught in a thing, Lord, I want every one of them. One of the things that I always fear is a fear of rejection. I want every one of the people that whom I love and who are in the part of the ministry and all that to be with me in that part when we are stepping out and walking on with the Lord. And some people get offended. But what can you do? You might offend when you say that you're just going to step out for the Lord and walk on. But then you have to face it. Are you with me? Jesus had to offend a lot of people. Jesus had to offend a lot of people. Sometimes when I'm restrict with certain people and I say, this is not the way it's done, it might hurt them. But then, you should know how to handle it. Are you with me? You should know how to handle it. Amen. And let me tell you how you will handle it. Mark chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Mark, and verses 16 and 17. Mark 4, 16 and 17, speaking about the parable, Jesus said, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure for a. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they get offended. Immediately, they get offended. Can you imagine that? So, you see, any change always is hard. You hear that? And any church or a ministry, it's like a family. And just like in your own house, when there is a change that takes place, whether it be the death of someone, whether it be somebody leaving home, or whether it be a sudden job change and you're going to a different city and going to stay there, or you're going to go through a problem of health or financial problem, whatever, there's a changes and trials that come in that family. You hear that? Huh? The same way in a church family also, the same way when there's a change, and when you're used to a particular way of seeing the ministry and seeing the pastor, when there's a change, it is normal that suddenly you don't understand and offense come. Because when the Lord asks you to take baptism, some of them went through real emotional struggle. So some of you, if you're sure of your life, you'll say, now when God is asking us to separate, some of you are, you know, you're going through an emotional struggle because there are a lot of people who are going to get offended out there. They're going to say, what is happening? And as a believer, if you think they shouldn't get offended, or I'm not offending them, I'm not being a bad witness, no, Jesus did that. Are you with me? And this sort of offense will take place. Amen. Now what I'm speaking here is you should know how to handle it. And here the Bible says they take offense because the word has got no root inside of them. So the people who get offended the most or the first are the ones who have no word rooted inside of them. They don't understand it spiritually. Hear that? They don't understand it spiritually. They're trying to figure it out mentally without understanding it from the word. Now, only if the word of God has got root inside of you. See, the ones who left were the ones who heard the word, but when persecution rose for the word's sake, they got offended. Are you with me? In other words, the word didn't have a root inside of them. So you should allow the word to take a root over you. That's the only way that you can keep yourself. The word of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. See, Jesus offended his brothers. In John's Gospel chapter 7, you will find that. Jesus offended his neighbors. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Who is this man? Are you with me? As a matter of fact, the Bible calls him a rock of offense. Isaiah 8 says he's a rock of offense. Come on. Isaiah 8 says that Jesus is a rock of offense. In Gospel of Luke chapter 2, you will find when Jesus is present in the temple, Simeon is speaking of the baby and saying, he is destined for the rise and the fall of many. See, Jesus is the problem. You understand that? Come on. I don't understand what I'm saying. He is the rock of offense. The one who believes in him is precious. That's what the Bible says. But the one who does not want to obey him is offense. I have seen so many people getting offended with Jesus. When people say, you gotta get baptized. In worship and spirit. Now, so many people have come here and left. Why? You know why? Because they said, these people pray a lot in the gift of tongues. I said, please, no offense to you. That's the way I'm going to do it. Now, then my part of teaching on why tongues is important, what's the beauty of it and why it is. And then when people worship in spirit, somebody's going to get offended. It's up to them. When one person here left, you know why? Because tithing was mentioned. Why? Because, see, the minute the word is mentioned and the word, so many people left when baptism was mentioned. The minute baptism was mentioned, boom. The minute, you know, Jesus being the only mediator was mentioned, see, he's the rock of it. The minute Jesus, the only mediator was mentioned, there were so many people who were offended. What about a tradition? What about a Catholic faith? What about Mary? What about Joseph? What about George? What about John? What about Peter? What about Paul? We got all of them in the ministry. Hallelujah. Let us meet you, St. George. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it okay if I preach like this? I mean, I'm just teaching, that's all, that's why. Now, what I'm saying is, you will understand in your life as a believer, some of you have got into an emotional mess and a struggle because you do not know how to handle your family and friends and all that because of your faith in Christ. So, oh my God, am I being a bad testimony? If you're standing for Jesus, that's not a bad testimony. Are you with me? Amen. You have to realize that you can't please everyone. You can't please everyone. You can't make... Now, what is impossible? It's impossible that no offense should come. See, there is something that is called toxic faith. Toxic faith is the faith that... I'll explain. It is destructive. Remember that it's dangerous. And the toxic faith is when a person misuses faith to avoid reality and responsibility.
Toxic faith is when a person misuses faith to avoid reality and responsibility. See, if you're gonna stand in front of the mirror every day and say, Lord, give me muscles. Give me muscles, Lord. Rashakala Ramda Rabadamana Sambajara. Hatul Jara Ragadamana Sambajara. See, muscles won't come. Come on. Come on. You have to go and exercise. So many people have got it disappointed. You know why? Because you are not doing your part. Somebody came here once and said they want to be set free from financial curse. I was praying for that person for a long time. And that person was tithing also. But I was asking, Lord, what is it? What is it? And the Lord told me that person is not working. And my Bible says that he who does not work does not eat. Let him not eat. And I said to him, listen, I know you are called. I know there's a calling over your life. But please understand me sensibly. It is not to kill your calling. It's actually to make sure that that calling actually grows. Make sure that you work and see that curse broken off from your family. And at the same time, come and serve in the ministry here. You hear that? Now, I don't think he got the picture. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, unless you have to see whether your faith walk, is it real faith? Am I doing what God wants me to do through his word? Am I taking responsibility? Am I seeing the reality of it? Now, one of the realities is offenses will come. It is impossible that no offense should come. You don't go about offending people. Come on. You don't go around offending people. When you stand before the Lord, your conscience is clear. Your conscience is clear. That's, you don't go about offending people. But you have to make sure that you're rooted in the word. Hear that? Amen. Now, I'm not going into the toxic faith deeper. I just said it here because some people think that the Christian life is all about roses and no thorns. And they don't like to hear a message like that. So they want to get, you know, more than spiritually strong, they want to get emotionally high over a weekend. Excitement. And the minute the excitement dies away, they think the anointing has died away. But you're going to see that that's not the way the ministry is going to move. It's going to move on the word. It's going to move on the help of the Holy Spirit. You need to understand that offenses do come. Are you with me? Amen? Now what I want to hear speak here is offenses that come to you, if it becomes bitterness, someone might get offended because of the stand that you take for Christ. That's fine. But when offenses come to you, it can contaminate your spirit. Are you with me? It can contaminate your spirit. When offenses come to you, I think it is Spurgeon who said, bitterness is actually unresolved anger. Are you with me? When this offense becomes unresolved anger, you know what will happen? You will only speak things that are negative. You will start with people. You will start saying things about people who have hurt you. You will start, boom, 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 saying all kind of bad things. Then after some time, that speech will turn to anger against God. And say, God is not there, he's no good, this is that, that is it. Why? You know why? Because actually, that bitterness has taken a hold over your spirit. That's the time you find hard to deal with the issue of love. You can't love one another. It's all bitterness inside. See, let me ask you one thing, please. Even tomorrow before we come to the final session of this fasting and prayer. Anybody in the congregation, does anybody have any kind of bitterness against anyone else? This is a church family. Does anybody have bitterness against anyone else? Make sure that you put it right. Is your conscience clear before God and before man? Are you with me? Then only you will find the genuine anointing of God releasing you. that bitterness is there, then you will find that your spirit man is really looking for, it's not really charged up. You're mentally getting excitement, that's all. Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. See, if you don't understand it scripturally, see, I think it was John Bevere. You heard of that man of God? And Lisa Bevere, they come on God TV. If you listen to many preachers, you can listen to them. They are good teachers. They are good teachers. Now, he speaks about an experience where he says he was a youth pastor of a church. And he was from a Catholic background, stepped out for the Lord and was walking with God. And God anointed him, and he was in a church where he was a youth pastor. And there was a senior pastor there, and he was going up there. And suddenly, after some time, he began to feel, in the beginning he was interested in the preaching, it was good, he loved the senior pastor, all that. After some time he began to feel that, this pastor will never make me grow. When the church is going for missions, he's not sending me out. When new projects and assignments come for the work of God, he's not sent. So he began to have thoughts, you pastor never grew up. And then suddenly somebody in the church who was also an associate pastor came to him and said, I'm leaving the church. I don't think this pastor will allow us to grow. It is amazing how you will find people with the same problem. And so both of them, but John Bevere says in his heart, he says, no. Somewhere he says, no, I shouldn't. The other guy left. And he said, listen, why don't you and your wife come and join with us? We're starting a church across the town. It's beautiful. And you can continuously minister there. Why don't you do that? And so after about a month more after that, pastor had left. And after the other church also began to grow. So John Bevere says, he said, okay, maybe that. Anyway, he says he sat with his wife and they said, both of them spoke together. He said, maybe it is God opening a new door for us. We need to go there. And both of them left the church that God had planted them in, and they went. And they went and they were ministering. And he says, the ministering was there, everything was there, but deep inside, there was something that was not right. It was not. The very thing that he was fearing was inside of him. And so he says, after serving there for about 2 months, sitting with the Lord told him, he said, I'm going back, Lord. I'm going back to the church that you planted me in. And the Lord said to him, you know what? I never asked you to leave. You left because you took offense at the pastor. You didn't understand what the pastor was saying. You hear that? Now what I'm trying to tell you is, you will find that the one of the things that contaminates a spirit is when you do not know how to handle offense rightly. You will find that your spiritual growth getting blocked. You will have outside everything happening. The excitement will be there, everything will be there, deep within. Boom, 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 boom. It's not a peace. Once a person came and said to a pastor, Pastor, I want to teach you, I want you to be like a brother to me. I want you to be like a friend to me. And the pastor said, okay. He was confused, So he said, he opened the Bible to Matthew 10, and he says, if you're a disciple, if you give a glass of cold water to a disciple, you will have the disciple's reward. If you give it to a prophet, you will have a prophet's reward. If you give it to a teacher, you will have the teacher's reward. So he said, nowhere does it say about a friend. So would you like to have a pastor's reward? You have plenty of friends, but would you like to have a pastor's reward? Hear that? One of the things in spiritual life is when you learn with your own understanding of the, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to recognize the place that God has put you in, the authority that is there, and all that too. I'm not saying, see, sometimes you might not be a person to be here. I know there are some people who are here who do not belong here. I mean, but see where God has planted you. Are you with me? I make sure wherever I go, I never pull people out of another church or another ministry. No. I just ask them to find their own roots. Psalms 19 says, who is planted in the house of the Lord shall bear fruit. Amen. There needs to be a planting. There needs to be a rooting. You need to see, where has the Lord put me? Where has the Lord put me? See, if you don't understand that, you will take offense. Are you with me? You will take offense. Let a lot of things that happen around you. If the word of God has not been, how many of you like teaching like this? Is it okay? You like it? I like it when he likes it. Hallelujah. Now, the third thing is offenses come, but you need to know that you can't keep bitterness. You need to forgive. Are you with me? You need to bless. You need to really pray for those people and bless them. And the third thing is your spirit can get contaminated is with excessive sorrow and grief. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13. Proverbs 15 and verse 13, pardon me. It says there, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Your spirit can become broken. I'm not speaking about the Holy Spirit, pardon me. Whenever in the Bible you find that small letter S for spirit, it is your human spirit. Whenever in the Bible you find the big S, the capital S, it is the Holy Spirit. If there are some of you who are looking through that word, you know. Then you need to understand that. I'm not speaking about the Holy Spirit being broken. Nobody can break him. He's God. I'm speaking about your human spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Excessive sorrow and grief. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you a point there. And I think it'll be a blessing if you really need to understand that. See, sorrow and grief. There are two types of sorrow in the Bible. One is called the sorrow of the world that leads to death. And the other is called the sorrow of God. The sorrow of the world and God is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now we're going to look through it. Are people on top taking down your Bible, opening your Bible and studying it? Hello? Yes? Is anybody sleeping there? No? Sure? 2 Corinthians 7. Second Corinthians chapter 7. Verses 9 onwards. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. The 9th verse. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. The 10th verse, for godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Did you find that? Amen. There is a godly sorrow that leads to repentance, and that leads to life. Godly sorrow leads to life. Amen. And to salvation. Amen. But worldly sorrow leads to death. You hear that? One more time, godly sorrow leads to life, to salvation. But
The earthly sorrow leads to death. See, when people repent, sometimes they repent with a worldly sorrow. And that's why they don't experience genuine revival. See, in a repentance, you will understand that when the Spirit of God comes, there is one conviction. And then there is not only conviction, but there is a part where there is a you feel contrite in your spirit. Where you feel genuinely so sorry for having hurt the Lord that you actually cry over your sin. And when you do that, there seems to be things breaking up in your heart. There seems to be a hardness that breaks down. Otherwise, what happens is you confess and again you go out and again you do the same thing. Again you come confess. Again you go out, do the same thing. Again you confess. Again you do the same thing. You know why? Because the brokenness has not come inside. There has been no contrition of heart, or a contrite heart has not come through. And most of the time in believers, what happens is why they get into repetitive addictions or bondages, because they don't have a contrite spirit. It's true they're convicted. It's true that they said, sorry Lord. But they have not knelt down and said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. That I pained you. See, many a time we confess only, you know why? Because you're feeling guilty. Because you're feeling heavy with that sin. And you just want to express it and say it out and finish the whole thing. So you say, Lord, I'm sorry. And God forgives you right there. But you don't experience genuine victory, you know why? Because you have not come to the place of a contrite heart where you say, Lord, I'm so sorry for having hurt you. I know I've broken your heart, Lord. And I pray, Father, that I will never do it again. And I confess it. And when you begin to cry, you will find mental battles going from your mind. And the heart becomes really broken. Some of you, if you have been repenting of your sins, let me tell you. So sometimes when you repent, you feel kind of self-righteous after that. You feel yourself headstrong. Are you with me? But when this godly sorrow comes, it leads you to... And then the hand of God comes and lifts you up. You hear that? See, some of you are going back again and tell you back to the same sin because you have not had that contrite sorrow. A deep godly sorrow. They are repenting without hearts being broken. Are you genuinely sorry for what you did? If that's the case, then that desire and that love for the sin from which you repented will not come back to you. Come on. But if it's coming back to you, it's just that you're feeling bad that, oh, you can't enjoy. Because you belong to God. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. See, that's where commitment also comes in. You hear that? Commitment comes always with a contrite heart. With just conviction, you will always be wavering. Conviction and a contrite heart. My God, it is not my problem. It's the fact that I have hurt you, I have broken your heart. And you feel contrite. And that's where conversion takes place. If genuine conversion has taken place, what will happen is, one, you will be able to restitute that which is not rightfully yours. You won't blame anyone else. Are you with me? You will forsake that sin. Reconciliation won't be a hard thing. You won't say, otherwise, you'll be looking for outside situations that has caused you for that problem. You say, if I had more godly husband, I wouldn't have had a problem. If I had a more understanding wife, I don't think. This is the problem. There are unbelievers at house. Always putting on the MTV tempting believers like me. You will look for excuses. Are you with me? See, when you walk out there out of the fasting and prayer, the MTV is still going to be there. The dance parties are still going to be there. The drinks and the drugs are still going to be there. Your old friends are still going to be there. The devil is still going to be there.
The pornography material is still going to be there. But if you have genuinely been contrite, you will say, no, 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 no. That breaks the power of evil in your life. I have always wondered why believers go through a stage where the enemy attacks them or harasses them. And God said that it's because they have never had godly sorrow. Hear that? Come on, church. But that's a mighty point. I hope you got it. If you had a contrite spirit and you really repented, you know what will happen? There will be a strong desire and zeal. If that is not there, after you have repented, that zeal will be still missing. You hear that? After you have repented, and if it is no godly sorrow, what will happen is that zeal won't be there. You just feel good inside. And you will say, oh, maybe I should have a fresh touch with God. Or maybe I should have a fresh oil. Maybe I should go for the Benin crusade. Maybe he should lay hands upon me and pray. But when the genuine contact spirit has come, you know what happened? It will show up in the genuine seal. Testimony will come out. Fear of failure will vanish. Otherwise, see, if you have not had a contrite heart, you know what will happen? You will always be scared in your mind thinking, will I fall again? After the fasting is over, will I fall again? Come on, church. We're just learning something tonight. Is this helpful? Please. Now that's what I call godly sorrow. Are you with me? The conviction of the word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of your own conscience. These are three things that lead you to conviction of sin in your life. Conviction of conscience, conviction of the word, and conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now when these things begins to happen, it leads you to a contrite heart, a godly sorrow. Are you with me? Godly sorrow leading to repentance. Amen? But worldly sorrow, what that will lead to is death, not life. And here I am speaking about worldly sorrow. You hear that? Worldly sorrow and grief. Because if you have godly sorrow, you will rejoice after that. Because the joy of salvation will come about. If it's a worldly sorrow, you will just regret. You will just regret. You will just say, oh, naan kartavalo vandangonde poi onnum cheyathilla. Ee vaasthinte munbe aa kuppi kondu varanu vatti adiki thirthana. Aaligine varan kanda samayam. What happened? Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. The third one is sorrow and grief, the godly sorrow leading to repentance. See, I told you genuine seed will show up when godly sorrow takes place. Are you with me? Can I ask you something very simple? To whom do you think when Jesus comes that he should give the greatest reward? Is it to the pastor? Is it to the teacher? Is it to the soul winner? Is it to the martyr? Is it to the one who is in the mission field sacrificing everything to serve the Lord? To whom should the greatest reward Jesus give? What do you think? To whom, Robin? What do you say? To the martyr? The greatest reward. All of them get rewards, but the greatest reward, the biggest reward. Aradama? Huh? I was looking through the scriptures and something amazed me. I always wanted to be a martyr for Christ. Right from the time I was born again, I wanted to be a martyr for Christ. That's how I come into my life. That is all my desire was. And because somewhere deep down I thought that is the greatest reward. But suddenly, looking through the scripture, I found out the greatest reward, to whom the Bible is saying is given. Not even to the one who overcomes temptation, but the Bible says the greatest reward, not even to the martyr or to the missionary, But Revelation 3 speaks about the reward given, and that is given to the one who is keeping his spiritual seal. Come on. It is amazing, church. It is amazing. Let me give you that. Revelation chapter 3. Well, Revelation, when you read 2 and 3, it's a message to the seven churches. And for all the churches, when they overcome us, they are promised the reward. But look to the reward that is given for the church called the lukewarm church. If they are willing to overcome their lukewarmness, what God says He will give them. The 21st verse. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Can you hear me there? A reward. You don't have to be a missionary or to be a martyr or to be a pastor. Just keep your spiritual seal alive for God. And my Bible says that he will give you a throne. Hallelujah. His own throne to sit upon. Amen. Hallelujah. So many people are doing so many things looking for a reward. And God says, son, just have godly sorrow and genuinely repent and keep your love burning for me and be zealous for me. I will make sure that you sit on my throne. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Lift your hand and bless the Lord for that. Bless the Lord for that. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, give us that grace. Give us that grace. Give us that enablement. Give us that blessing, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Give us that helping hand from heaven. Oh, radala handana jara. Rugada handara rajana. Rachel dara janandara. Dagala hatul jara. Oh. Rudala handana. Rajal hatana raja. Glory. Rudala ranjana. Ragada hatul jara. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Give us that grace, Father. Give us that grace. Glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, how you can have your spirit man restored? I just spoke about three things, and I believe it's helpful. Amen. The first one being, discouragement and despair. Two. Offense. Three. Excessive sorrow. But the right sorrow you should have. Are you with me? Amen. The right sorrow you should have, or the wrong sorrow you should avoid. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look to the... three ways to be refreshed. Or to be set free in your spirit, so that your spirit can become alive once again and be full of the life of God. One, Job chapter 10 and verse 12. I just go through this fast. Job, the 10th chapter. Job chapter 10 and verse 12. My Bible says there, you have granted me life and favor, and your visitation has preserved my spirit. Hear that? You have granted me life and favor, and your, Lord, your visitation has preserved my spirit. These are days in which we are asking the Lord to visit us afresh. Even tomorrow, even in the breaking of bread, in our worship, and in the teaching of God's word, in our testimonies, I pray the Lord's fresh oil will come upon our lives. Even in the nights when you spend your time in the presence of the Lord, I pray that the Lord will visit you afresh with a fresh touch from heaven once again to stir up the life of God inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. A fresh revelation, a visitation from God. That's why I believe when we meet together as a church, we worship the Lord. And we say, Lord, visit us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let your glory take a hold over us. A fresh touch from heaven. How many of you desire a fresh touch from heaven? Even I am praying for one tomorrow when we gather together. Hallelujah. That God would keep his hand upon us. That he would he would just walk in this place and do his work in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Fresh touch from God. A fresh visitation. Amen. Hallelujah. Two. it is amazing, but Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, the 12th chapter of Proverbs and the 18th verse says there, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. In other words, words of encouragement has got a way of bringing your spirit man up. Words of. Words of. You hear that? I was looking at, you know, I was looking at the series of talks that we had this year. Every year in my years of ministry, I made sure that there were series of topics that were taken. And this year would be the one that I've least taken any particular topic as such over an extensive period of time. And I said, Lord, why is it? And I looked at the content of the material, you know, I suddenly realized that 90% of the messages that were preached were messages of encouragement. And the Lord said, the reason being, the devil has been hitting them again and again and again, and I wanted you to stand there and encourage them. Amen. The messages has been words of encouragement or strengthening. Hear that? Amen. Why? Because that's the way that your spirit becomes alive again. But now I'm telling you how you should keep it. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. So we can have some studies next year. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. The fourth chapter of Ephesians. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. See, let me tell you, just check your talk life. See, all complaints and grumbles and frustrated words out of your mouth all the time, you will find that you are killing your own spirit. You hear that? You hear that? Words of edification. Words of life. You know, speak out from your mouth continuously. Amen. Now, look to an amazing scripture, which I never thought St. Paul would ever need in his life. Colossians chapter 4. See, in the New Testament, St. Paul always seems to amaze me. But I never thought he is a man who needed encouragement, you know. Because all the time he's stoning, he's getting up and preaching here. There's a riot that breaks out, he's still preaching. You know, you put him in jail, he's preaching. But look at Colossians chapter 4. And the 11th verse. Colossians 4, 10 and the 11th verse. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive fellow instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. They are my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Amen. They have proved to be a comfort for me. So these guys meeting together would impart grace to Paul. See, Paul was going through an inconvenience. He was in jail where there was no AC. He was getting delayed, getting frustrated. Why? Because he might have wanted to be on fire and do the things that God wants him to do, but he's getting delayed. He's in chains. He's in a prison. He's cut away from all that he wants to go to. But right there, instead of his spirit becoming broken, God makes sure that he sends a couple of people across his way in the jail who are speaking words upon his life, which is comforting and strengthening him. Amen. You can never grow healthy in your spirit by staying at home and watching TBN. Are you with me? There are TV churches today. Computer churches. I don't think we have it much here in India or Kerala. But there are believers who say, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. And I attend the worship on Sundays. I get into the teaching of Oral Roberts in the afternoon. In the evening, I get into the healing ministry of Benny Hinn. In the night, I'm with Rod Parsley. That's my church. That's not your church. Are you with me? That's a spiritual deception. You can watch those channels, you can watch those preachers, but that is not your church. Because Bible says, not neglect the habit of meeting together and encouraging one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, what is amazing about these guys, you know what? When you read the word, and I'm not going to do the explanation today because we've got a lot of material to cover. These guys, you know how they became a comfort? See, none of them had a reason for being in jail. When Paul was arrested, they said, we'll go along with it. Come on, church, I don't think you got it. None of them had a reason for being in jail. But they said, Paul, if you're going to be taken, we're going to be taken with you. Because we want to make sure that your spirit is kept healthy. Hallelujah. And that you are being bombarded with encouragement and life. Can you imagine that? Oh, Lord, raise up some Aristarchus in this church. Hallelujah. Who will come to prison with me when... Hallelujah. Lord, avoid the second part. Amen. Hallelujah. It is amazing, you know, Paul's friends comforted him. Job's friends could not comfort him. Because they were blaming Job for everything. See, the least you want when your spirit is damaged is somebody blaming you. Job's friends, after all the words that Job's friends had spoken when Job was in trouble, Job said, miserable comfort as you are. But Paul's friends, they associated with that problem. Are you with me? And they just spoke life. Hallelujah. You know, once a pastor went to a house to pray, and he saw a parrot there. And the parrot was saying, let's cuddle, let's cuddle, let's cuddle. He says, it's quite interesting. The pastor is always saying, the parrot is saying, let's cuddle, let's cuddle. So the pastor said, okay, maybe I should bring my parrot also and put it in the same cage. And the parrot that he brought, you know, spiritual parrot, and put it in the cage with the other parrot. The other parrot said, let's cuddle. And the pastor's parrot said, Lord, you heard my prayer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. There are times you need to cuddle. Are you with me? Amen. I mean, you might be out there lonely and alone. You need to come and share, and so that the word of God can strengthen, nourish you, and bring you back. Amen. Hallelujah. You can either be an irritant, or you can be a balm. You can either hurt or you can heal. You can be a part of the problem or you can be a part of the solution. Hear that? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's close our eyes for a minute in prayer. understand the voice of the Lord this evening. Let's just ask the Lord to meet with us this evening.